Today is the first installment of a series of interviews with different congressional leaders and constitutional officers in South Carolina. Joining Dr. Steve Pettit on today's edition of the Palmetto Family Matters Show, Congressman Ralph Norman.
Thank you so much for your time today and really appreciate it.
Yeah, my honor to be here.
So I just want to ask some kind of pitches, some softballs here and just kind of talk about issues of our day. And the first question is, what are some core issues that should concern Christians as we look at where our country and our world is today? A lot of our audience are believers. They live here in South Carolina. They are encompassed and sometimes engrossed in what's going on in our country. And a lot of times people have a lot of questions and they just need clarity and people that they can trust with some good answers. So we want to throw that one at you right away.
What I see, Steve, happening in America, in my opinion, is evil. It's demonic. It's a challenge that we have to meet to combat. When you see what's happening across the world, starting with what happened in Israel, with the massacre of 1,200 people, the raping of women, the burning of children, that's demonic. When you see countries that are flouting and are embracing the Muslim religion, Hamas, the Houthis, when you see in Congress groups that are protesting in favor of Palestine and are openly against the only democracy in the Middle East, which is Israel, it's just evil. And it's hitting South Carolina as far as how things are moving, not as much as luckily we've had some pretty good leadership here. But, you know, you look at California, where you can basically abort on demand. You look at the drugs that are being used to abort children. And many of the churches have been silenced. You know, the Establishment Clause means just that. No state, no government can establish a religion. But the fact that a lot of the agencies now are tying funding to basically kicking God out of schools, kicking God out of government. So that's the heart of the problem. The other heart of the problem is we have got to take an active role. I mean, we Americans have got to activate. And when I say that, you know, when I saw the language that came out of the South Carolina Board of Education, which basically says that no school can discriminate against biological males going in biological girls, women's bathrooms. That's evil in my mind. That's unsafe.
That's in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Right.
So we're taking action on it. We're going to move, hopefully, to have a press conference and outline what our action is as far as state legislature. And then of course it boils back to a lot of times federal funding, but all of it is Americans cannot sit back. You know, we cannot be silenced. And I think that we are waking up hopefully as a country. We cannot just say we're going to pray. We certainly need prayer, but God needs disciples. He needs people going out and actively getting involved. And I will remind people, as I did earlier this morning in a talk, Jesus turned the tables over. It's time to turn the tables over and pray that God will guide us, which he will do. But we've got our challenges ahead of us.
Well, that's a good segue, because my next question is that the U.S. Constitution serves as the bedrock of our republic. So how do you see, in some ways you've already stated it, but how do you see the core constitutional liberties being assaulted, and how should we respond to those challenges? Because one of the things we try to do here at Palmetto is we feel like we are a bridge between the state house and the church house, between the state house and the family house, because we are wanting to engage the church people of the state of South Carolina with what they should be doing and what they can do. So those are some really important things we're wanting to emphasize, and hearing from you is really crucial.
Well, let's start with the establishment clause. I mean, what's happened is the words have been taken out of context, but if you look at the words, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of people peaceably to assemble and petition the government for redressing their grievances. And that's not that complicated, but, you know, it doesn't mean you can't say a prayer in school. It doesn't mean that the pastor can't get up and teach biblical principles as you read it from the Bible. And that's been taken out of the pulpit. And it's actually been taken out of the halls of Congress and in the state halls of South Carolina and other states. Now, what can we do to address that? I think we've lost our courage to say what we know is right, which is biblical principles. And we've lost our courage to get with our elected officials in small groups, I think, are very effective. Getting with our elected officials and just going over like the language that's in South Carolina now, which says that biological males can go in biological women's bathrooms, and taking an active role in changing that. And letting the elected officials who would vote on something like that, they'd vote on the funding. And I'm convinced the longer I'm in politics, and I've been in Congress since 2017, in the state house and since 2005, for a number of years before I went to Congress. But we have got to hit them where it hurts, which is at the pocketbook. And you got to cut funding for the agencies that are violating what they were intended to protect. And it's the taxpayers that fund their salary. It's not vice versa. The states right. created the federal government, not the federal government creating the states. And we've lost track of and lost courage to confront them. And the opposite group that has in my mind, has basically taken our Constitution and shredded it. We've got to be held accountable for it and take a position on it and let our position be heard. And we've been quiet on that. We all have been too quiet, and we've got to do it in a nice way. But you got to say what we're doing, and you got to cut the funding off that if they keep having things like that, as they did in South Carolina, we've got to make an effort to take the first step in cutting the funding.
One of the issues that I find among Christian people, and even today in light of our upcoming election in November, is a lot of Christians are not voting. It may be because they don't like a particular leader. They don't like maybe particularly the way that things are, certain things that are handled, which I can understand that, but it's kind of shallow when you consider, when you're voting, what are you really voting for? For example, am I voting just for one person? Or like, so for example, in this upcoming national election, as a congressman, and you're speaking to church people, let's say, and they're questioning whether or not they should vote. Will it really make a difference? What are we voting for? I'd love to hear your maybe explanation of the reason why voting is so absolutely necessary and what that means for our country.
Well, first of all, America is the leader of the free world. For 250 years, in the next 24 months, it'll celebrate the 250-year anniversary. If we lose America, where do we go? And I've heard a lot of people who are just what you said, Steve, I'm not voting, I'm not taking part. That's a cop-out. By not taking part, you know, when good men, the saying, when good men do nothing, evil prevails. So if we like what's happened to America, let's take the last 4.5 years, or 3.5 years. If you like what's happened, if you like the direction of the courts, then you just sit the game out. But my next question, where are you going? Tell me what country you're going to. And I had a lady this morning saying the exact same thing. I'm leaving America. I said, well, tell me what, name me the country.
Right.
Cuba? Is it China? Is it, El Salvador? Is it Venezuela? And they can't answer that. They say that, but now's the time for involvement. You know, George Washington lost more battles than he won, but he prevailed. He stood in there. Winston Churchill, he stood and fought. God will fight the battle. And I tell people, God doesn't call the most well-equipped. He calls the most willing. He will equip us. So it astonishes me, the people that say just what you're saying. I'm going to sit this out. Well, you sit it out. You lose America. You let evil to continue to prevail. And we won't have a country to go to. And, you know, the great thing about America, you can utilize your God-given talents in freedom. And when freedom's taken away, as we've seen in countries that freedom has been taken away, Venezuela comes to mind, because Venezuela had all the natural resources, had all the oil, and a small group took it over. And if you're willing to let that happen, sit on the sidelines. Don't take votes. Don't go to your meetings. And, you know, they're taking off. The other thing, they're taking away our freedom to donate to causes we want to donate. Look at the taxes. And I showed a list. I spoke to a big group the other night, and I showed the list of where your tax money's going, like building walls in Libya, like, you know, supporting causes that we don't believe in. They're taking away our paycheck, which gives us the, they're telling us how to spend our money. Well, we're making our money. We had the freedom right now. But we are on the verge of losing America. And if we don't go back to God, let him equip us. But enter the battle, because it's a battle for souls. It's a battle for the freedom. It's a battle that is well worth the fight. Because look at the downside. And people have just hadn't woken up to that. I think hopefully they will now, because we're very close to just saying it's not worth it. And if that's the stance, then suffer the consequences. But I'm not willing to do that. That's why I'm in politics.
I think of the Star Spangled Banner, and before you can sing the land of the free, you have to sing the home of the brave. And bravery is actually the is at the heart of this, the call to action. Because for a lot of people, it's not a matter of what I believe. Do I believe this? It's a matter of am I willing to put my neck out there? Am I willing to show courage and bravery? And that's why we appreciate men like you who are brave and direct and speak with urgency.
Well, and look at what the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence suffered by signing their name, by having courage. I mean, look at they lost families, they lost estates, they lost children, they lost, but they're willing to do that. Now, that's our predecessors. And we don't have the courage to voice our opinion because of what the media may say, or because somebody may react in a different way. No, you can't do that. And every leader ought to have the ABCs: accountability, boldness, and courage.
That's great. I love that. That's wonderful.
Well, and it's that simple. And that's what we need to insist on. ABC, do your ABCs. You got to be accountable. You got to be bold. You got to have courage. Now, if you're not willing to do that at where we are at the stage of this country today, then don't run for office. Recruit people. And that's what I'm getting involved at every level. If they're good people, I'm going to get involved with them. If they have the ABCs.
I'm writing that one down, Congressman. Accountability, okay. Boldness,
courage,
and courage. That's wonderful.
And look at the sacrifices, not just our 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, but look at what every time I go to a veterans event, I mean, they put their life on the line.
They did. Yes,
Many
sir.
came back without limbs. I serve in Congress. Brian Mass, two, you know, amputee, bomb exploded. Corey Mills, who's a true hero who rescues people. Our government is going against our core beliefs, and we've got to fight it. We are the government, but we got to take it back. Now, if
Right.
we're not willing to do that, then we're going to suffer the consequences. And I just hope that's not the case.
Me too. Well, I appreciate that. Let me ask you this. Citizens are increasingly concerned about public safety. As a U.S. congressman, what protections are available at the federal level, and how can state leaders respond to these types of issues proactively?
What I did, and I will say that we've almost gotten part of this evil and demonic state that the country's in that that are prevalent is based on, again, a constitutional principle. We're a nation of laws. Now, recently, the police around this country have been defunded. The handcuffs have been put on them instead of the criminal. We got to reverse that. Now, how do we do that? Now, Congress has not done a good job of that, and it boils back to the states. I got involved with, we had a recent election for a sheriff, a law and order, a Marine, a man who will enforce the law. He will put the criminals behind bars regardless. If they do a crime, he'll let them have due process. But he's willing. He's got the courage, I guess. And he's running against establishment candidates. I just don't believe that. And they wouldn't do it. He won. Americans are thirsty for consequences for criminals. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it boils back to people. You need to go to your police force and go to your sheriffs and talk to these, you know, ask, what can I do? Again, God will equip us with our actions if we'll just make the first effort to meet with our law enforcement. How can we help you? And I will tell you, again, we're with the 15 million illegals in this country. If we don't do it now, tell me when. If not now, then when?
Yeah, the with 15 million illegals coming in who know nothing about our country or our Constitution or how we live as people, that puts us in a very serious, serious state. And we're seeing that throughout the country right now in just some of the crimes that are being committed by those who have come into the country.
Well, it's so sad. Lakeland Riley, her only mistake was jogging around the campus. The little girl, the mother who was recently killed, the little child who went to the convenience store, and her only crime, she only mistake she made was going to a convenience store, raped, murdered by illegals. There's a local sheriff here in South Carolina whose daughter is undergoing surgeries now for months because of an illegal who didn't have a driver's license and ran into her. Now's the time to act, Steve, and it's active involvement. We pay their salaries. Let's act like, let's put it in line and make sure that they understand what we expect. And it all starts with law and order. We're a nation of laws. If we're not going to enforce them, you know, then that's on us.
I have a question I'm asking those that we're talking with, and that is how can the federal and state governments actively promote human flourishing? We've been discussing some of our values here at Palmetto, and one of them is human flourishing. We believe when we go back in the scriptures and we look at, even in the beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And so that whole idea of productivity, flourishing, prospering, moving forward, how is it, how can the federal and state governments actively promote that?
We have to elect people who actively promote and go to work. One word, freedom. Freedom to use your God-given talents, freedom to excel and reach the highest limits, but also freedom to fail. We got to have the freedom to fail. And failure is a big teacher. And we haven't done that. We've gone back to games without winners and losers. I'm sorry. Jesus went out and preached the gospel. He went to work. He actively engaged the masses. And we should be doing the same thing in our own way. Everybody has a talent, and it's using that talent to promote freedom. And that's what this country was built on, free enterprise. The great part about, you know, having the freedom to produce a product that people need, that's the basis of an economic system. Government
right.
didn't do that. Government
right.
didn't make that. Government is restricting it. The things we can do as elected officials, let's take the regulations off in a lot of cases. Let's take the wokeness, the DEI, let's get that out. Let's put the money where it needed to be. And I will tell you, the military is one of the leading examples. We're down 35% in military enrollment because, from what I'm being told, they're sick and tired of wokeness. And the money that should be going to airplanes, to modern technology, we've got countries that don't like us. And we've got to be strong militarily. You don't lead from weakness. So, and not just the military, our social programs work like the Farm Bill. Work should be a part of before you get a paycheck, you have got to at least gone to work and try to get a job. We've made it more advantageous to sit at home and collect a paycheck and not go to work. That's wrong. And it's being, the left will portray that as being cruel. I'm sorry, it's not cruel. It's how America was built. And it wasn't built from those just not choosing not to go to work. And as Jesus did, he did it daily. He went to work. He espoused the principles of what the Bible teaches us. And we got to do the same thing. It's not that simple. Again, it boils back to ABCs.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We're working through some of our values here at Palmetto, and one of them is human flourishing. Because when you go back to a biblical worldview and look at what the scriptures teach, God created man, put him in a garden, and gave him a job. And as he worked and God blessed it, he saw the bounty that came from God's blessing, but also it was incorporated through his work. And we all know as human beings that there's a sense of satisfaction and contentment in working and flourishing. And also, where there's an abundance, then you have the freedom to be able to give. And really, you're really not fully happy and content until you can give out of your bounty to meet the needs of others.
The truest form of contentment is giving. That's what gives people so much contentment, so much joy of giving to the causes as you choose, not the government, what the government tells you. It's what you choose as an individual. Individual liberty, the freedom to do that, is being lost. And you know, as I tell people, the other countries that, if we lose America, that we'll be under their rule, which will be under a small majority that rule by force. Mm-hmm. And it's not what America was used to. And I had a couple that visited the Capitol. They had two children. One was from China. She was Chinese. The other girl was a natural born child. And I asked the mother, I said, and I talked to the child. She was 18. And I said, mother said, we adopted her. I said, what's your background? She said, well, we got her from an orphanage in China. This girl had, they not adopted her. And by the way, she's going to Harvard and she's going to be going to be an MD, but is specializing in something. Harvard had the grades, and she was so thankful to her parents. That's what we're going to lose if we continue down this path of just saying things are going to be all right. I'm sorry, the cancer in this country is spreading, and there's no amount of cancer that you shouldn't try to cut out physically. And the same thing applies to America. The cancer is here, and we combat it. And the only medicine is us getting involved. And insisting on, or at least having a conversation with what needs to change. And it starts with us.
Active participation. That's what I'm hearing. And actually the government being limited enough to free people up to be able to work hard and accomplish the very things that they want already. And as you mentioned, protecting us with the right kind of laws and the right kind of government. Well, that leads me to the last thing, Congressman, and that is, as Christians, the Bible commands us to pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy 2:1, we're to pray for all that are in authority, kings and all that are in authority. And so we are going to be praying for you. We're going to encourage throughout the state. I go from church to church. I was down in Beaufort on Sunday. We'll be up in the Greenville area this coming Sunday, speaking in churches, speaking about government, and speaking to encourage our people to pray. And in addition to praying, what do you believe is the best way for citizens to constructively engage with their elected officials?
Well, with me personally, it's RepRalphNorman.com. And the other biblical passages I would ask people to consider and to put in their, put as a basis of getting involved, Esther 4:14, for such a time as this. There is no better time. We're chosen for such a time as this. And we can, so much we could accomplish. The opportunities are there. So I would just have them take the opportunity, and particularly for our young people, where your organization and others have got to get involved with young people. I see a lot of them are coming from broken homes. A lot of them don't have that parental guidance that I was fortunate to have. So you're going to have to get the young people at all ages through Bible studies, through active engagement with their elected officials. I encourage people to follow, to come shadow me all the time to see what it's like. I have them in Washington, interns, and I don't give them a litmus test. Are you a Democrat, Republican? Are you conservative? Are you liberal? No, you just come and witness it. You come watch us. You come follow us. You make your own decisions. And 9 times out of 10, it gives them a whole new mission in life, and it gives them firsthand experience. And I enjoy doing that. It's part of my job.
Oh yeah, I love young people. And Jesus said, "Come and see." When the disciples asked him, say, "Well, come and see,
Yeah.
and come and
Experience it
see
for
what's going
yourself.
on. Experience for yourself." Well, Congressman, it has been a joy to have you on our podcast here by the Palmetto Family Matters, and we are so thrilled that you are serving and representing South Carolina. And one of the things about South Carolinians is they love their state. I can't explain it other than the fact that you grew up here, you love it here, you love the people, and we want our state to thrive. And we're so glad that God has put you in that place, and we will pray for you and support you. Thank you for representing your district up in the Rock Hill area, and we pray for the Lord's richest blessings on you as you serve.
Well, keep the prayers coming, and sincerely appreciate it. And well, you're doing God's work, and we've got to do God's work. All, not just me, all public officials need prayer. They need guidance from God. That's the only way we're going to get out of this.
Thank you, Congressman. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.